Blog Talk Radio.
Baruch Hashem, this is Mark Lichtenwalter coming to you live on this 15th day of May 2019. This is Fundamentally Mormon. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. We are live streaming on Facebook at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. You can give me comments and stuff there at that live stream. If you're watching during the live stream, I will take questions and comments and relay them on the air. Also, I am live streaming at youtube.com/user/God is my compass, and the channel name for that channel is Fundamentally Mormon. We also will be posting, or I also will be posting the text to what we read today at Zion's Redemption Bookstore on Facebook, and also at the Church of the Living Messiah, which is also on Facebook, as well as in my many different groups that I post in. My groups are LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussions, and LDS Gospel Mysteries. I also post in a couple of other groups, and on my wall at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. So today we're going to continue on with the next chapter of the Gathering of Israel, which is Chapter 5, A Scattered Israel. And this will be on pages 41 through 57 of the Gathering of Israel, which you can read for free online at ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. And once you get to that main page, you click on Read Ogden's Books and then scroll down to The Gathering of Israel. All of his books are in alphabetical order. We'll be starting on page 41. I think if there's anything else, I'll dedicate the program, and then I'm sure that I'll have something else to say. Oh, by the way, if you are watching and you're reading along in Enzyme to the Nations Missionary Edition, this book here, we will be on page 387. And let's see here. Yeah, 387. And we'll it'll be 387 to 391. So this book is for sale at ogdenkraut.com. It is $25. And within the 48 states, if you want it shipped to you, it's between $5 to $7, depending on where you live. And then you can find all of the information to contact either myself or ogdenkraut.com. And there's information there for the contacting so that you can purchase this book. It is a 600-page book. They're selling it at very close to cost, because we want the information to get out there. And within this book, there are many books, Rebaptism. And you can read all of these books for free online. So if you want the printed copy, it's $25 plus shipping and handling. The Relief Mine 95 Thesis, which is a book that we have already covered. The Church and the Gospel, The Church and the Priesthood, The White Horse Prophecy, and I've covered all of these books, actually, on my old radio show, The Kingdom of God or Nothing. You can find that at iTunes. Just search The Kingdom of God or Nothing, and you'll see a nice picture of Jesus. And that's my old radio show, which has been archived in iTunes. The United Order, The Gathering of Israel, Michael Adam, The Three Nephites, Jesus Was Married, which is the last book that we covered in Calling an Election. So, but there are so many more good books that Ogden wrote, and you can find all of those books, pretty much all of them. I think there's like 69 to 75-ish publications that he did in his lifetime. So he has passed away. It's been many years since he passed away, but we still enjoy his books because he compiles a bunch of stuff from church history and, you know, writes books about different topics. So like what we're talking about today is the Gathering of Israel. Let me fix this real quick. Okay, that's a lot better. All right. So I'll dedicate the program and we'll get right into the reading. And, somebody asked me why I wear a cross. You know, I was a truck driver for many, many years. So I came home from my mission in 1998, and I didn't have anywhere to go, and I became an over-the-road truck driver, which was the plan all along. I went to diesel mechanic school from 16 years old to 18 years old. I may have been 17 when I went into to diesel mechanic school, but anyway, I know it was 1994, so it's been a while. And I got out in 1996, and I was in there for a year and a half, and I got my CDL when I was 18 and drove locally and all that. When I came home from my mission, I literally did not have anywhere to go. So I became an over-the-road truck driver, first for C.H. Dredge, who got bought out by HR Transportation or something like that. It's been a long time. I mean, it's been a long time. Anyway, and then I went over the road for CFI for many years, and I've been a truck driver for over 20. Well, I got my CDL in 95, so what's that, 24 years, 23 years? Anyway, but as an over-the-road truck driver, I used to do a ton of missionary work all over North America, and I used to go into many different churches, and I would meet people out on the road all the time. And I lived in my semi-truck, and I did 48 states in Canada. My company actually did 49 states because we did have runs up to Alaska. I just never went up there. I just never got a load to. But I spent a lot of time in the Northeast and down in Texas and all over the place. Anyway, but I started wearing a cross many years ago because people would ask me. I'd noticed that other truck drivers would see other truck drivers wearing crosses and, like, you know, perfect strangers, and they'd start talking about the gospel. And I was like, huh, if I wear a cross, maybe they'll talk to me and I can share with them the gospel. And so that's what I did. And so I started wearing a cross many years ago, and it's been a custom habit of mine. There were crosses in LDS churches many, 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 many years ago. And since, I don't know, like the 1920s or something like that, they took them out. And because they're going to focus on the resurrected Jesus, which is fine, but there's nothing wrong with wearing a cross, and I enjoy wearing one. So, all right. So anyway, I'll dedicate the program, and then we'll get right into A Scattered Israel, which is pages 41 through 57, chapter 5 of The Gathering of Israel. O God, the Eternal Father, we come to thee in the name of thy Son, Yeshua, our Messiah, who the Gentiles know as Jesus the Christ. We submit ourselves at this time unto thee and dedicate this program unto thee. We ask thee, Father, for the blessing to go out over those who are watching this program, that they might be edified and uplifted by the words of the prophets. We love thee so very much, Father, and we ask thee that we might be tools in thine hand to bring about Zion's redemption, that thy kingdom above would be on the earth, and that Zion would be redeemed, and that Yeshua, our Messiah, would return to the earth and take his rightful place among the nations as King of kings and Lord of lords. We thank thee, Father, for thy Holy Spirit that is here today, and we say these things, dedicate our time unto thee, and ask for thy blessings. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, amen. All right, let's get right into the reading. I do have to go pick up my daughter in 45 minutes, so let's see if we can get through this chapter. And then I did also create a playlist for Jordan Bells' channel, which he's reading the Mormon Yeshiva, and he's doing an awesome job, and I want to be able to share that with everyone. But for some reason, every time I tried to play the videos on my television in my dining room, it said low internet speed, but it seems like I'm doing fine because I don't have any interruptions with my live broadcasts on Facebook or YouTube, and I can see the studio just fine. So I don't know. Well, we'll see. When we get to that point, I'll try to play a couple of them, and we might be able to do four, it looks like. We'll see. When we get to that point, we'll see. So, also, Jordan does post the Mormon Yeshiva recordings at Zion's Redemption Bookstore as well for anybody who wants to go there and see, you know, what he's saying. And he's reading Rob Kay's Mormon Yeshiva blog, which brings out a Hebrew understanding of the restoration and of the Book of Mormon. It's awesome. Good stuff. I just don't have time to do it anymore, so I asked him if he would take up that mantle, and he has, which I am indeed grateful for. Thank you, Jordan, for all you do. All right, The Gathering of Israel by Ogden Kraut. A scattered Israel. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Luke chapter 2, verse 24. The scriptures and sermons of the prophets abound with a multitude of reasons for the saints to gather, but nowhere have they mentioned advantages in remaining scattered. On the contrary, all of the prophets have listed numerous evils that result from living among the worldly and ungodly. The spirit and power of gathering filled the souls of all the prophets of God. Those prophets who were the most spiritual felt that power the most. In this dispensation, that spiritual giant, Heber C. Kimball, said, quote, "Yes, I feel many times to weep and am sorrowful, and I can hardly sleep at night. And if I had Gabriel's trump, I would speak to the saints of all the nations, and I would say, gather. Gather, and do not even wait for a handcart to be made. I feel this in my soul. Do the world believe it? Do the Latter-day Saints believe it? No." Journal of Discourses, Volume 7, page 168. Shalom, Ricardo. Ricardo said shalom. Jerusalem, Israel. And I don't even know how to say that. And then something Jesus. I'm sorry. I'm bad. I don't know how to pronounce that word. He's been sending that to me all the time for the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 months. And I see him say it all the time. And I've seen what it's kind of funny. Sometimes he sends me, hello, shalom, which means peace in Hebrew. And he'll say, black belt of Jesus. I always get a kick out of that, so thanks, Ricardo. The reason the Lord filled the prophets with such a burning desire was to save the souls of the saints. The perils of remaining in Babylon were too numerous and too dangerous for those who were scattered. Some of these dangers are the temptations of the worldly. This is a subsection heading, or a section heading. So it's number one, the temptations of the worldly. The alluring affluence of the world was the last and most enticing temptation that the devil offered to the Messiah. It is a power so effectual that nearly all men are swayed by its snares. We're on page 42. In this last dispensation, the devil has devised new and more influential temptations, which he never employed before. These temptations are propagated through television, motion pictures, radio, books, magazine, and every form of advertising media. Even the wisest saints may be overcome by these temptations. The question is often asked by the sectarian ministers, why could you not live in New York, Liverpool, or London, as well as going to Zion? Because we should be in the midst of sin and wickedness and abominations, and it would be very difficult while so situated to keep from being polluted by the evils which reign upon the face of the earth at the present time. Wilford Woodruff, Journal of Discourses, Volume 12, page 280. Number 2, section heading, Wicked Environments. Even if the saints who are scattered abroad could avoid the temptations, they would still remain the victims and prey of the wicked. thieves, criminals, and villains continually seeking for ways and means of overtaking unwary souls. Righteous people seek to be delivered from such a wicked environment. Those who have embraced the gospel in foreign lands sigh for deliverance. And like, you know, that was something before, but like, I feel sorry for all of these Christians all around the world, especially in Africa and in the Middle East, that are being persecuted at this time. I mean, we don't hear a lot about it in our mainstream media here in the West, but there are churches being burned down, people being burned alive, people being beheaded, because of wickedness throughout the world, and these people have nowhere to go. I mean, the refugees from Syria, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to get into that topic, but it's a shame. And like, if they had a place to gather and come out of those heathen nations, you know, it would be better for them. They could gather and be, they could gather and be, and have strength. The devil wants to keep us scattered in the world. And, like, you know, it's good to a point because we can be a light among the nations. But when we are persecuted, you know, it's better to be a gathered people than it is to be a scattered people. And it's better for Zion to be redeemed as a gathered state because we can have our, united orders, and we can take care of each other easier and better in that way. But even where the saints are gathered, they still don't do that, unfortunately. I mean, they have bishops' storehouses, but you don't see United Orders anywhere in any of the branches of Mormonism, except for maybe the AUB. And they have problems with the way they do things, but I'm not going to... Oh, and the FLDS, they have United Orders. But then you've got wicked men who take over and control the people, you know, and it's a mess. Anyway, but the LDS Church, you know, we all covenant in the temple to live the law of consecration, which is the foundation for the United Order. And there are 16 million members of the church and not one United Order. That's sad. It's really sad. There is no excuse for not having, for not even teaching it. And this is all part of Zion to be, this has to happen for Zion to be redeemed. And if the people are not even being taught United Orders, and how to live them, then, you know, what are they going to do? Their leaders don't teach them about these things, you know, in the correlated committees that they have. But it's all very essential for Zion to be redeemed. Anyway, let's see here. Those who have embraced the gospel in foreign lands sigh for deliverance, and the hope of this deliverance is the only ray of light that burns in their souls and that gives them joy. Although they live with their whole lives oppressed, this beam of gladness has found its way into their souls through the principles of the gospel, and hence they are less oppressed in their feelings than many others. Page 43 of the Gathering of Israel. A hope springs up in their bosom that the time will come for their deliverance from the oppression under which they groan. End quote. Daniel H. Wells, Journal of Discourses, Volume 11, page 186. Number 3, evil associations for the youth. The standards of the world are never the same as they are for the saints. A true Latter-day Saint will find raising children among the ungodly a most discouraging effort. He must raise his children in a much different path than those of their associates. A worldly society literally mushrooms into immorality, dope, pornography, profanity, and a host of evils. Raising righteous children requires an almost unsurmountable effort to prevent them from being destroyed. Today's society hosts drinking, smoking, dirty jokes, narcotics, and fashions that are topless and bottomless, and these are rapidly degenerating in every nation. Righteous parents would seek every means of delivering their children from such associations, except for most people are so used to these things that they don't even see that there is a need for them to come out of Babylon and come out of these wicked cultures. And it's really sad that the church has allowed the world to get in their schools and their this atheism and this all of these false sciences to get within the schools, you know. And then we send our children to Babylonian schools and we expect them to be Latter-day Saints. I'm in a bunch of ex-Mormon boards on Facebook, groups in Facebook, because I want to see what they say. And like, you know, the saints are not preparing their children for the attacks that are coming. And most of the saints don't even know how to, like the CES letter. Like, I've read it. I know it's so full of half-truths and lies, and like the fact that they found the Book of Abraham. Oh, and it doesn't say anything about what they said, what Joseph Smith in the Millennial Star. In the Tower, it's in the Times of Seasons or the Millennial Star. It says that the scrolls, I think there were five scrolls, and they were like 187 feet if rolled out altogether. Okay, what they found, the Book of Abraham that the anti-Mormons used to try to tear apart the church, what they found is a bunch of fragments that equates to about 3 feet worth of those scrolls. So not even 1% of what or 2%, whatever, of what has been found is what Joseph Smith had. It was destroyed in the Chicago fire, unfortunately. But, you know, in the CES letter, Jeremy, this guy who puts this crap together, that the church doesn't ever do an answer to, you know, it's the church's fault he's even a thing, Jeremy Reynolds. You know, it's just a bunch of lies. And the other day I saw that this missionary, this girl who just got home from her mission, found this crap and came into this ex-Mormon group, and she is horrified by what they are spreading, the lies and the trash that they're spreading. Now, I wanted to ask her, and I don't raise my head up in there because I don't want to get kicked out of there, because so many people among the ex-Mormons know who I am. Like, if I say anything, they all go crazy, right? So I just keep my mouth shut. But what I wanted to ask her is, during your mission, did you not feel the Holy Spirit testify peace and truth to you as you were teaching other people at any time? And you come home from your mission and you're going to read all of this trash that these ex-Mormons are setting out there and these anti-Mormons are setting out there, and you're going to believe it? You're going to believe this trash, this filth over the Holy Spirit that during your mission, you just, sister missionary just got home. She'd been out for 18 months. And she's going to allow that trash, the anti-Mormon lies and half-truths to dissuade her, to destroy her testimony of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. This woman who is 20 years old, and she's going to these ex-Mormons because the Mormons don't understand the topic at hand, because they're so busy in Babylon during the week that they don't study their scriptures or the history of the church. They don't try to find answers. They don't learn about the redemption of Zion. They don't learn about any of the truths of the everlasting gospel, which we need to know for Zion to be redeemed. And their children fall away and become ex-Mormons. And then they get mad at their children for falling away when they didn't prepare them correctly. They didn't share with them, you know. And this woman, this 20-year-old woman, I feel sorry for her, but what did you think that the influence of the Holy Ghost that you felt on your mission was just like some gobbledygook? Like, I don't understand. Like, if the Spirit burns in you and it testifies, first of all, if you're a missionary and you're out there teaching the gospel and you don't have a testimony you shouldn't be out there. God wants quality, not quantity. And furthermore, the LDS Church, in this book, The Doctrine and Covenants right here, it states that the 70 elders are the ones that are supposed, and the traveling traveling apostles are supposed to go out to do the missionary work, not elders and definitely not sisters of a young age. And that is not the way God wanted it. I don't care if there's 60,000 or 80,000 or 150,000 of the young kids running out there all around, you know. That's not the way God wants it to be done. And the church, when Russell M. Nelson says we need to speak nothing but repentance to this generation, repentance involves getting back to the commandments that God has given us. And we have plenty of them here for Zion to be redeemed. And we have plenty of them in here in the Brit Hadashah, the Tanakh, or the Old and New Testaments for you to figure out. And if you want to preach nothing but repentance to this generation, you need to go back to what God has already commanded us to do. Gathering out of the world is part of that. Having, you know, like, what does it say? Well, I don't want to get into that, but I'll continue reading. Now you who wish to hire out with the wicked and mingle with the ungodly, does it suit you to hear the name and character of deity profaned and every principle of propriety violated? If you go to the gold mines and wherever the wicked are, you will hear the name of that being whom you recognize and acknowledge as your Savior blasphemed and taken in vain, and the name and character of the Almighty vilified and abused. Can you bear this? Does it suit you to have your ears saluted with such language and your spirits contaminated with such society? I would not associate with those who blaspheme the name of God, nor would I let my family associate with them. By this you may know whether you are in the path that leads you to life and salvation. Brigham Young, Journal of Discourses, Volume 12, page 219, and we are on page 44 of the Gathering of Israel, for those of you following along. Number 4, the reverencing of unrighteous men. The most honorable men of the earth are the prophets, patriarchs, and apostles of the Lord. But the world praises and honors its atheists, politicians, movie stars, and the wealthy. Men may be knaves, barbarians, corrupt, and wicked, and yet be hoisted to the most honorable positions in the society of the world. The worldly are honored for their temporal accomplishments, and society is taught to honor them for it. For a saint to live and raise his children in Zion, where men of God are honored, would be a blessing of unestimable worth. Hi, Tilla. Hello, I'm home, not working till further notice. Oh, I'm sorry about that, Tilla. I hope you get a job soon. You can always come out here and be a truck driver. We need somebody to help drive the truck when I'm not driving it, right? It's an easy job, except for the bounciness of, you know, the road south of Farron, Utah, between Farron and Emory and Sevier County. Oh my gosh, it bouncing, and it causes my hands to hurt and my bones to ache just being on that road. But anyway, I hope you get a job soon here. Anyway, that's Tilla from Independence, Missouri. So, and anybody can comment on the video at facebook.com, so, and also, or at the radio show. So, of course you a truck driver. She says, ha ha, no thanks. Me a truck driver? Why not? You drive a car, don't you? It's easy to drive a truck. You just take everything slow and you turn really wide and you don't hit anything and you'll be good. And there's a bunch of lady truck drivers out there that do the coal run, and you're home every night, or whenever your shift is, you're home. You know, it's not like you're out there. And this county, this county, Emory County, I love this county. It is nice. This county is a nice place to live. Like, my daughters rode their bikes down to the bus stop yesterday, and they leave their bikes there unattended all day, and they're nice bikes, you know. We we don't have problem. Well, there's a little bit of problems with people using drugs and stuff, but you're going to find that anywhere. But it's nice. And there's one stoplight in the whole county. And you know what my traffic jams consist of? Farmers moving their sheep and their cows. And that doesn't happen every day. Although a couple months ago I had a bull being chased by two cowboys that ran out onto the road, and I had to slam on my brakes so I didn't hit them all. And the one cowboy lassoed the bull and started, you know, he wrapped it around the horn of the saddle and was pulling that bull back over to get him back in the corral. And he kicked the telephone pole. He ran right into the fence, like a steel fence. I mean, that's the way it is in this county. Bunch of cowboys, bunch of coal miners, a lot of honor and traditions. I love it here. Anyway, all right, continuing on, honoring spiritual men and to live near them is one of the prime objectives of the gathering of Israel. The world always mistook false prophets for true ones, and those that were sent of God they considered to be false prophets. Hence, they killed, stoned, and punished and imprisoned the true prophets, and these they had to hide themselves in deserts and dens and caves of the earth. And though the most honorable men of the earth, they banished them from their society as vagabonds, while they cherished, honored, and supported knaves, vagabonds, hypocrites, imposters, and the basest of all men. Joseph Smith, Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 206. Number 5, lack of protection. The history of the church has proved the necessity of the saints to dwell together and offer. Oh, somebody's mowing their lawn. I hope you guys don't hear that. I need to get a microphone. Like, I have one in the background over here. You can probably see it, silver. My kids destroyed it, so I need to get a new one. And they're like I think I found them at Walmart for $115 a piece. And I need to get two of them, one for my Facebook live feed and one for my YouTube live stream. And then this microphone here is probably the best audio that you're going to get, and that's blogtalkradio.com /fundamentally Mormon. So, all right, let's see here. The history of the church has provided the necessity of the saints to dwell together and offer each other protection. Often without provocation, the fury of mobs The fury of mobs has burst out against the people of God. Their strength and protection rested in their numbers and unity. Page 45. By being scattered, the religious may not only suffer from mobs, but also from unjust politicians, lawyers, doctors, and businessmen who might rob them of their property, their possessions, or their liberties and rights. Wickedness and righteousness are in direct opposition. The devil is opposed to God, and God is opposed to the devil. All the heavenly hosts are opposed to wickedness, and all the persons who are wicked are opposed to the heavenly hosts. This will be so as long as there are wicked people in existence. And like, they don't even have to know you to hate you. Like, I've had so many people who have this great hatred of me that don't even know me. Like, for instance, one of the old mechanics when I worked in the oil field, her name was Rose. She never had ever met me before. First time I ever met her, I was being introduced by somebody, I can't remember what it was, and she hated me from the beginning for no reason. Didn't know who I was, had never met me before. I got this woman, Emily Webb Jones, who I made the mistake of dating back in 2003, who when I went to God and told God, I said, I want to, you know, she seems like a good candidate for marriage. You know, let me know if it's right. Like, should I pursue marriage with this woman? And God told me to get away from her and to have nothing to do with her. And I am so glad I did, because she became a hate stalker who used to sit outside of my house just down the street and watch my house. She had this, she turned this, like we were in the same singles ward, and she tried to say that I had sex with her so that I'd get excommunicated, which we never had sex. Not even, I mean, I was like, well, I want a family, but, you know, I wasn't even really attracted to her. She was a very large woman. The first time I ever saw her, and I shouldn't say this, it's kind of mean, but she was wearing this orange dress. And I'm a truck driver, so I'm thinking, holy moly, that's a big traffic barrel, you know, standing there. But I was nice to her, and I would be nice to her still, but she comments on my post sometimes and tries to disparage me. But, like, this woman, 15 years ago, like, flipped out because they wouldn't marry her because God told me to get away from her. And I'm glad that I was warned by God about this woman who has left the church, does not believe Joseph Smith was a prophet. She was doing it all for show. It was like a community social program for her, you know. And I'm glad I didn't pursue a serious relationship with this woman, who turned out to be a crazed stalker who is still following me after 15 years. And she's the worst stalker I've ever had. So, well, maybe not the worst. There was a girl named Marcy that also wanted me to marry her, and if God doesn't tell me to marry them or tell me it's okay, I trust God more than I trust people, because people lie all the time. My stepfather was the perfect man when he was dating my mom, and he turned out to be a flipping drug addict, he was an alcoholic psychopath. Very abusive man. But I remember when I was a kid how great he was. You know, people put on faces. So anyway, I'm going to have to do part two of this, because we got 20 minutes before I have to be to pick up my daughter. So, all right, it does not matter how smooth they may be in their outward appearances or how sociable they may be in their conversations. They, with their tongues, may make you think they are most gentle, polite, civilized, and moral people on the face of the earth, while within their hearts lurks a poison which would destroy the saints of the living God. And this is what Satan had in store for me if I would have been with this woman, Emily Jones, who fruit bears out the testimony of that. Like this person, what she has done in the last 15 years and how she has interacted in her, and she still doesn't have a family and nobody wants to marry her. I think somebody did marry her, but like just not a woman of Zion, not at all. So anyway, but you know, she played a good game and she fooled me, you know, at first. I was actually considering her, and I fortunately went to the Father in the name of the Son to find out if I should pursue a relationship that would lead to marriage with this woman. And I wanted a family so bad. Like, I love being a dad. I wanted to be a dad and a husband for so long, but it wasn't right at that time. And it wasn't right with that person, even though she put on the great big old face of being a wonderful, you know, pro-Mormon type of person, but it was all a show. Anyway, as this has been the case in every former age and dispensation, so it is now. Hence, the Latter-day Saints in every part of the globe are commanded to gather out from the midst of the wickedness, corruption, and priestcraft, and every abomination that exists, and assemble themselves in one place. For what purpose? That we may be separate from the world and its corruptions, which would otherwise work our temporal and spiritual destruction. Or the world wants to work out our temporal and spiritual destruction. And you're finding that within the church at this time, because they do not gather out of Babylon, but they mingle in Babylon. They've got, like, they have one foot in church, and the rest of them is like mingling in Babylon all week and doing all kinds of Babylonian things. And then they wonder why God doesn't speak to them anymore, give them revelation or any of that. So anyway, but that was the end of that quote. Orson Pratt, Journal of Discourses, Volume 12, page 303. So counterfeit education. Let's see here. Oh, wow. Yeah, there's no way in the world I'm going to finish all of this today. I'll get as far as I can. We'll see where we get. So we're going to do a part two tomorrow. All right, number six, counterfeit education. The world advances illegitimate ideals and pagan principles. The saints would be raised in an educational environment, we're on page 46, that stems from atheistic teachers and absurd theories. From years under such schooling, it requires a near miracle to exclude such propaganda from the tender minds of the youth. The end result of modern education has produced a demoralized and lawless society. Men teach their own theories, ideas, and opinions, and hence confusion and disorder prevail in the world. Hence, in order that God may have a people who will carry out his designs and accomplish his purposes, he has introduced the gospel, and under its influences, people have been gathered together to this land as we see them here today, and as they are to be seen throughout the length and breadth of this territory. The world, as I have said, is full of confusion, and there will be worse confusion by and by. John Taylor, Journal of Discourses, Volume 24, page 200. And let me just say, one of the first revelations that I got as a young child from the Father, hold on here. Pause. Okay, there we go. All right, one of the first revelations that I got was, I think I was 12 or something like that, and I was praying and asking God about this, and Khrushchev, who was prime minister or something like that of the Soviet Union back in the 50s, said that we would fall like ripe fruit into his hands, and that they wouldn't have to lift up a gun or any of that. And I asked God how this was going to happen, and God told me, as a young child of around 1989 when the Soviet Union fell, and he told me that they have sent their, I can't remember exactly how he put it, and this is like over 20 years ago, but this was a revelation that God gave me, that the Soviet Union infiltrated our educational systems with their plans, and they would teach and brainwash the youth of the generation into socialism, and that it would be by that means that they would destroy the nation of the United States of America. And that was back in 1989. And as I have grown, and in our world in the last 4 or 5 years, you have seen a great deal of socialism come out, where we've got this guy, Bernie Sanders, who wants to be the president, who spent his honeymoon in Soviet Russia, you know, and that's the fall of this nation. They are actively trying to destroy this nation with their democratic socialist propaganda and theories, and destroy the constitutionality of our republic. And you're going to see a civil war come about by this. And things are going to happen that are going to get so bad where it'll be neighbor against neighbor, father against son, mother against daughter. This is prophesied to happen. This is going to happen here. The cleansing of the American continent from the wicked will be by the hands of the wicked. And this, it's going to be, you know, but it's that you're seeing prophecy being fulfilled, but it starts in the educational system. And, you know, this was a brilliant move by the Soviet Union and by Khrushchev back in the day, because what has happened? They get their moles into our educational system, and they teach people who are now doctors and lawyers and Supreme Court judges and all kinds of higher-ups, you know, judges. And, I mean, and they've got all of these socialist ideas, and they're brainwashing the youth of our generation and of past generations with this trash. I mean, look at Venezuela, the perfect utopian, socialist program. Now, God wants us to help the poor, but he does not want us to give authority to a wicked government to steal money from those unwillingly. He wants us to do it willingly. All those Democrats out there that are like, well, Jesus was a socialist, or Jesus was a he said, give to the poor. Well, you can be a conservative Republican and give to the poor willingly. Never at any time did Jesus ever say, pull out a gun and by the force of a gun, steal the money of everyone and give it to, there's no Robin Hood. Jesus isn't Robin Hood. He wants us to do it willingly. And when, anyway, all right. Number seven, temporary marriages. The marriage, and this will be the last one that I can do for today. I'll try to get through two more. Temporary marriages. The marriages of men and of God are entirely different. The parents of the children of Zion seek friendship for their children, which will result in worthy and honorable marriages. Today's society is advocating trial marriages and common law relationships and group marriages, which usually do not last even for a time. The righteous seek eternal marriages for their children. If they live among the worldly, their children will be attracted to the standards of Babylon. Living in a scattered condition in the world is an enticement for marrying out of the faith, a practice which has always been forbidden of God. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them, speaking of the Gentiles. Thy daughters shall not be given unto his sons, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. Page 47 of Gathering of Israel. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of Jehovah be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 3 through 7. And this is the last one we'll do for today. We'll have to come back on and do a part two tomorrow. Number eight, dissolved family associations. People who live in a scattered condition will find the blessings of the family gatherings nearly impossible. Family interests, paternal objectives, and parental responsibilities are nearly uprooted by being separated. The spiritual work between the living and the dead is one of the most important and comprehensive labors of Zion. The gathering of the saints to one place is necessary in order to preserve their genealogies and to secure to them those inheritances, the title to which must be substantiated by legitimate records, kept in archives in the house of God. Whenever God has had a people, he has been careful to instruct them to keep an accurate record of marriages and the issues of marriage. From Adam to Noah, and from Noah to Abraham, and from thence to David, down to Jesus Christ, the genealogy must necessarily be preserved, says David. Quote, God setteth people in families as a flock. He arranges them in families. But if these families intermarry with those who do not keep the laws of God nor conform to his ordinances, the records of genealogy are soon obliterated from the knowledge of men. The proof of the legitimate title to intermarry is thereby extinct, and unless saints are gathered out from the midst of unbelievers, they are more liable to intermarry and become alienated from the ordinances and the covenants of the Lord. Millennial Star, Volume 9, page 309. So when we come back tomorrow, we'll be on page 48, and that one is deterioration of temporal and spiritual welfare. And let me see here. That's 9. 48. Yeah, we still got 10 pages to go. So anyway, like I said before, you can read all this for free on ogdencrowd.com. Click on Reid Ogden's books and scroll down to The Gathering of Israel, or you can buy this book, Ensign to the Nations Missionary Edition, which you can find for sale at ogdenkraut.com. It's $25 for the book, plus between $5 to $7 for shipping and handling to the 48 states. I think Florida is a little bit more, and then anywhere out of the United States, it's going to be a little bit more. But, I mean, you've got 600 pages in this book and several books, but you can read it all for free online if you want, or you can purchase these books. And this is an old book, but this one here, this is Ensign to the Nations, and there are 7 volumes of this, and they might have these for sale too. But these are $100 a piece. But it's very well crafted book, and I think $600 and something or $700 for the full volume. But like I said, it's all for free online for anybody who wants to read it. Also, they have the Journal of Discourses for sale at ogdenkraut.com, or they have in the past. You can contact them by going to ogdenkraut.com and checking that out there. Let me see if we have anybody in the studio. No, we do not. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to see if I can put this playlist in order for you to watch and listen to Jordan as he talks about he will seek another people, and also all of the other things that he has written in the he's doing the videos for the Mormon Yeshiva, which you can find the Mormon Yeshiva at blogspot.com. But he's reading the books, because I wanted to be able to read them, but I couldn't. I just don't have the time to. My schedule is so packed. I'm going to go pick up my daughter, and I'm going to take her to the – I got to go to the post office, and then I've got to drop her off, and I got to come back here and end the radio program. Then I got to go get my truck from the shop, and then I got to drive till like 1 in the morning, and then I got to go get home around 2 and sleep till 8 and get up at 8 and get my daughters ready for school and make sure everything's good with that. And then I got to I love working, but sometimes I'm like, oh, I need to stop trying to go for those big days and just like do what I can do. But I'm a workaholic, I guess. Anyway, but thank you for everyone for watching. I'm going to, at this time, mute myself on my phone, and I'll continue to listen, and then I'll set this up so that we can hear what Jordan has to say when he's reading his blog. So I can mute myself here.
to purify yourselves, and also the inhabitants of Zion. From teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith. Brother William W. Phelps, I send you the olive leaf, which we have plucked from the tree of paradise, the Lord's message of peace to us. For though our brethren in Zion indulge in feelings toward us which are not according to the requirements of the new covenant, yet we have the satisfaction of knowing that the Lord approves of us, has accepted us, and established his name in Kirtland for the salvation of the nations. For the Lord will have a place whence his word will go forth in these last days in purity. For if Zion will not purify herself so as to be approved of in all things in his sight, He will seek another people. I grew up in the church all my life. I was taught, we are the chosen people. Nothing's going to change that. I would ask, even our own disobedience won't change that. It was never a guarantee. Continuing, for his work will go on until Israel is gathered, and they who will not hear his voice must expect to feel his wrath. Let me say unto you, seek to purify yourselves, and also the inhabitants of Zion, lest the Lord's anger be kindled to fierceness. This is that same letter where he ends with, we still weep for Zion. I've been thinking a lot about how prophecy oftentimes can have multiple fulfillments. And I thought, when Joseph Smith was trying to restore everything the Lord was commanding him to do, I'm sure that he was trying his hardest to redeem Zion. I know he believed in it. But did he know it wouldn't be redeemed in his lifetime? Let's read Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 34. I cannot learn from any communication by the Spirit to me that Zion has forfeited her claim to a celestial crown. Notwithstanding, the Lord has caused her to be thus afflicted, except it may be some individuals who have walked in disobedience and forsaken the new covenant. All such will be made manifest by their works in due time. I have always expected that Zion would suffer some affliction from what I could learn from the commandments which I have been given, but I would remind you of a certain clause in one which says that after much tribulation cometh the blessing. By this and also others, and also one received of late, I know that Zion in the due time of the Lord will be redeemed. But how many will be the days of her purification, tribulation, and affliction, the Lord has kept hid from my eyes. And when I inquire concerning the subject, the voice of the Lord is, be still and know that I am God. All those who suffer for my name shall reign with me, and he that layeth down his life for my sake shall find it again. I would just add, when I ask our Father in heaven about the redemption of Zion, how long will we wait? I get the same answer, roughly. Be still and know that I am God. I don't get any details. Continuing, now there are two things of which I am ignorant, and the Lord will not show them to me, perhaps for a wise purpose in himself. I mean, in some respects, and they are these. Why God has suffered so great a calamity to come upon Zion, and what the great moving cause of this affliction is, and again, by what means he will return her back to her inheritance, with songs of everlasting joy upon her head. These two things, brethren, are in part kept back, that they are not plainly shown unto me. But there are some things that are plainly manifest which have incurred the displeasure of the Almighty. I don't know how much Joseph Smith knew, but it should be pretty clear that Zion has not been redeemed. We're not gathered. And the commandment to gather was never rescinded. There's never been any revelation, no scripture saying, just stay where you are. Build Zion where you live. Don't come gather together. Lift where you stand is what we're told in the mainstream church today. And that's fine. Do what you can where you are. But is that the commandment the Lord gave? I don't know how it's going to happen or when, but Zion must be redeemed. And this time it will come by power. I leave this with you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Sorry about that. The radio show edited out any dead air, so. But I just got back and saw that the internet's having issues today for some reason. So it's not playing the playlist that I made for the Mormon Yeshiva. You can find that Mormon Yeshiva video, though, at Jordan Bell's. Just type his name in, you should be able to find it. Or just type in the Mormon Yeshiva in Face or in YouTube, and you should be able to find it anywhere there, too. So, anyway, but I'm going to end the program, and I'll be back on tomorrow for part two of the Scattering of Israel. So, thanks for watching, everyone. Sorry about the technical problems. I'll be back on tomorrow at 9:30. Shalom. Back on the phone.